Let's pray before I start. Lord, I come up here in this place of teaching from your word with grace and humility. We pray that as we look together, as we listen, your spirit would come, your spirit would be active, your spirit would make the word alive to us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So this week I'm focusing on the New Testament reading from the lectionary, which is from Matthew 23, as has just been read. Now, a common objection I hear from people who are anti-church, whether they're Christian or not, is that the church is full of hypocrites. And you know what? They're right. Because we are all hypocrites in some way or another. The church is full of hypocrites because I'm a hypocrite. The person who's using that excuse is probably also a hypocrite too. In fact, we're all hypocrites. The fallen human condition is that of hypocrisy. Because if hypocrisy is having beliefs that do not match up to our actions and our words, or having double standards, then all of us are actually guilty of that at times. We are all guilty of not living up to what it is that we know that we should. I, for one, do not always live up to the standards I have for myself, the standards that I see in Christ. But there's a difference here between humbly acknowledging the fact that we don't live up to what it is that we know we are called to do, as opposed to pretending that we are morally perfect and that we have it all together. I once saw a meme that was really interesting, and it went something like this. It said, "The church is not full of hypocrites. There's always room for some more." The kind of hypocrisy, though, that Jesus is rattling the Pharisees for here is a self-righteous hypocrisy, the type of hypocrisy that has no humility at all. You could be a humble hypocrite, or you could be a self-righteous hypocrite. You see, the Pharisees would sit in Moses' seat, and Moses' seat was actually a literal chair, which probably only in the last 10 years they've discovered that it is actually a literal chair that was in the synagogue, where they would sit down and they would teach the law. But they wouldn't just teach the law. They would teach the law that would help you to keep the law, that would help you to keep that law, which in the end, you'll keep the main law. They kept putting laws upon laws upon laws. So they'd offer all of these statements and demands of what people needed to do, how far you could walk on the Sabbath before it was deemed work. And then they would continually introduce new laws to safeguard the law, adding a rule upon a rule upon a rule. In contrast to the two commands of Christ, which are to love God and to love your neighbor, the Pharisees had developed a system. They've worked out roughly 613 laws. 613 laws. 365 of those were negative commands, and 248 were positive laws. Can you imagine that? Imagine the demands that that placed on people to have 613 laws that you had to be conscious of day in and day out. Jesus warns they don't practice what they preach because A, even they could not live up to their 613 laws because it is impossible. And B, in a universal sense, the Pharisees ended up misrepresenting the true intent of what the law was actually for. They think that they preach the law, but they don't actually even understand the purpose of the law. They've lost why God gave the law in the first place. You see, the law was always intended to be like a dentist's mirror. So with the mirror, you can look into the teeth, the dentist can look, can detect any cavities, can detect any rotten bits or any abnormalities or things like that. But the dentist then doesn't use the mirror to fix the problem. It's only there to show what the problem is. And the law was never the fix to the problem. It was about naming our problems. It shows us what God expects and where we fall short, but the most important thing is it highlights for us our desperate need of God's grace. Because as humans, it's hard to live up to those expectations all the time. The law was never supposed to be the heavy burden that the Pharisees had made it. Where the law uncovered our fallenness, God covered us in his grace. In today's Old Testament reading in Micah 6, God pleads with Israel, enough with the ceremonies, the business of religion, thousands of rams, 10,000 rivers of olive oil, enough with all of these unending burnt offerings. These outward things are not what I actually seek. Instead, act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with me. Those are the things that God required. But here are the Pharisees with their laws upon laws upon laws, unmercifully weighing the people down as if the perfect keeping of the law would save. They were too busy finding ways to keep and enforce the law, and in doing so, they missed the purpose of the law. They missed the grace of God, and the sadder thing, and the much more ironic thing, is they missed the person who gave the law himself, Jesus, God incarnate. It's easy to, as Christians, feel a little bit superior to the Pharisees because we know it's all about grace and Jesus. But we have to be careful because that same trap knocks at our door. That same trap of becoming legalist. This is an interesting quote from Jack Deere. It says, the essence of legalism is trusting in the religious activity rather than trusting in God. Putting our confidence in a practice rather than in a person. And without fail, this will lead us to love the practice more than the person. So that asks of us this question. How often can we miss who Jesus is and what he requires of us when we are too busy focused on keeping the rules? Grace arrests the need to impress. The Pharisees obviously tried to feel important by ensuring that outwardly they looked pious. They looked like they were doing the right things and that they looked holy. Their phylacteries were like belt bags that were worn on the forehead and the left arm, and it contained tiny scrolls of scripture. And they did this because in Deuteronomy it says, fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds, tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. So they took that very literally, and they literally bound the scripture on their head and on their arms. The interesting thing is that the average Jewish man would wear his during worship, but after worship, he would take them off. But the Pharisees and the scribes kept theirs on, and they paraded about in public through the marketplace. But what's more is they made sure that those that they wore were bigger than everyone else's, that they were extra large just in case anyone missed how truly dedicated they were. Additionally, on the four corners of the garments worn by Jewish men were tassels that had blue cords, and they dangled down, and they were a reminder to follow the commandments of God in daily life. We also see in Matthew, actually, that Jesus had these tassels too. So the tassels themselves weren't the issue. The issue was that the Pharisees saw this as an opportunity to compete for the longest tassels in order to draw attention to themselves and their perceived holiness. And then on top of parading through town with their extra big phylacteries and extra long tassels, they love to be addressed by their titles and to sit in the most prestigious seats. They loved the honor that they would receive. Now surely we wouldn't see things like this today. Surely we would not witness legalism, the love of status, the facade of holiness, the air of having it all together in Christians, would we? If we're truly honest, we probably see it in ourselves from time to time. Do we avoid situations that make us look less than what we think we are? Do we look to people's outward behaviors and tisk silently to ourselves? Do we work harder on how we appear than on the health of our inner life and our relationships with God and other people? Do we get upset when we're not honored where we think we should be honored? How often can we miss who Jesus is and what he requires of us when we're too busy focused on image of outward religious piety? Here's a really interesting story. Some years ago, a church in Portland near a college wanted to develop more of a ministry for students. They weren't sure how to do it, but they tried to make them feel welcome. One Sunday, the church was packed and the service was already underway when a young man with unkempt hair, blue jeans, a t-shirt, and bare feet walked in. He came down the aisle looking for a seat, but he couldn't find one. Finally, he just sat down on the carpet at the front of the church. This created an uneasy atmosphere in the crowd of people who were mostly dressed in suits and dresses, seated in their rows of pews. Then every eye noticed an elderly man in a suit walking slowly towards the young man. And everyone was wondering what was going to happen. What's he doing? Is he going to tell the young man off for dressing like that in church? Is he going to ask him to leave? Finally, he got down to where the young man was sitting. And with some difficulty because of his age, he crouched down, sat down, a bit creaky, sat next to that young man, and he worshipped there with him on the carpet right next to him. For Christians to practice what we preach is to practice grace and humility. God would prefer we have mercy for others than be enforcers of the law. We have before us the same dangers as that which faced the Pharisees. Once we stop preaching grace, once we stop living grace and humility, we essentially lose the gospel. And in doing so, we become like the Pharisees. If we neglect humility and grace and set ourselves up on a moralistic foundation that says, unless you're perfectly moral, unless you fulfill our criteria, you do not belong, then we become like the Pharisees. Our natural tendency to hypocrisy loses its sting when grace enters our lives. Without grace, we could become too preoccupied with outward appearance whilst not lifting a finger to help those around us. If we teach grace, we must live grace humbly. Failing to do this is where hypocrisy lurks at our door. We're all hypocrites of sorts, but let's be humble hypocrites, not self-righteous hypocrites. Thanks be to God.